Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
So we're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon. This series is called The Wisdom of Solomon, which kind of makes sense because Solomon, he was our founding rabbi, and he passed away earlier this year. And so he had lots of sayings that everybody remembers. He's the most quoted rabbi in the Messianic Jewish movement to this day, decades after he was the senior rabbi here. And so absolutely very memorable. So we're taking a lot of his sayings and making them into messages because there's so much wisdom in so much of what he said. So let's talk about this this faith walk that we're in, this whole faith walk thing here. So much of our faith walk is about making the right choices. So much of it is about choices regarding what we do in our faith walk. That's fair enough. But more specifically, purposing to allow God to work in your life. It's so interesting because when the musicians were doing the worship songs, they did three worship songs. They were all wonderful. And I thought, wow, when I heard the first one, I thought, wow, that kind of relates to my message. And then I heard the second one. I said, wow, that one also kind of relates to the message. And then I heard the third one and said, wow, all of them relate to the message. Purposing to allow God to work in your life. I'm underlining the word allow, to allow God to work in your life. I want to tell you very briefly a couple of stories. I recall a member many, many years ago, a member of the congregation who was actually one of our ministry heads. He led one of the sub-ministries within the congregation, and this was a great guy, absolutely great guy, and he was beloved by everyone. And he served God faithfully and his fellow congregants faithfully. Just truly wonderful mensch of a guy. And then he messed up. Okay, he messed up. It was a significant mess up for sure. Okay, but he repented. And when I say he repented, I mean he sincerely repented. You know, some people repent and they're like, oh, God, forgive me. But the reason they're repenting is because they got caught. You know what I'm talking about. That's a lot. If you have children, you know that one. Okay, you know that whole rigmarole. Oh, I'm so sorry I did that. Oh, yeah, you're sorry because I caught you. That's the reason. Uh-huh. Okay, this was not the case with this guy. He repented very sincerely, which was wonderful. But try as I might, I could not convince him that God had forgiven him and could restore him. And it was painful for me to see, as much as I would try to communicate, listen, God's forgiveness, I mean, we're coming up on Rosh Hashanah, we'll have our Tashlich service where we'll throw our bread or stones into the water and the bread floats away eventually out into the ocean. That's how far God takes our sins away from us. It doesn't matter if we sin. Of course it matters. But if we sincerely repent, repentance Teshuvah be'evrit in Hebrew means to turn away. It's like doing a 180 away from your sin. Okay, if somebody is very sincere, you're turning away from it, and God forgives you, and it's out like in the depths of the sea is how far away he buries it. But my friend, this guy could not do so. He could not let it go. He carried such guilt, and he felt as though he had been like a poser or a hypocrite. And he thought that that's the way that he would be perceived. I shared with him the love of the Lord and that God really, really wanted to move in his life. But at the end of the day, he would not allow God to restore him. There's another person that I know. This is a young woman at the time, a young woman who was, she has quite a story. She was first arrested at the age of 12. Female, at the age of 12, first arrested, ran away to live on the streets at age 13. She was involved in drugs and lots of drugs and lots of horrible things. And after years of on again, off again drug use, eventually she was sent to prison for an extended period. This was over many years, on again, off again. At times, she had the potential for great success. She was a prom queen in her high school. Lots of trauma in her life, some of it her fault, some of it not her fault. While in prison, someone visited her and spoke with her about Yeshua. And the person who visited her asked her point blank, "Yeshua wants to heal you. Do you want to be healed?" And later in a jail cell, she said she chose life, important word, and chose Yeshua. She would later say, quote, "All of a sudden, all these lies that I believed about myself started being filled with what I call spiritual bricks. Lies started being removed from my spirit, and I had supernatural downloads of truth into my spirit. All these lies I had heard my entire life started leaving," end quote. She says Yeshua healed her and broke the prison door open for her, and all she had to do was walk out. And friends, it's been a redemptive life since. Not always easy, but wow, redemptive to this day. But friends, there's a key point of that. As she said, God broke the prison doors for her. All she had to do was walk out, but she had to choose to allow God to move in her life in such a way that she chose to walk out. She had to choose to walk out. The prison doors God had made wide open, but he didn't push her out. It's not God's MO. He doesn't push you out. He gives us a choice. It's what makes us unique. The book of Yaakov in the New Covenant, the book of James chapter 4, please. The book of Jacob, James chapter 4, Bavakasha, please. Wow, very interesting. I want this to bless you and to minister to you and to speak to you. Because we have, even what I've presented already, two very different examples of how God was seeking to move in someone's life, but how they reacted in the end made all the difference. James chapter 4, verse 7, starting in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, submit to God." That's the first part I want to focus on. "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8, "Draw near to God." There's the second emphasis there. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Wow. I want you to note here, as we read this, These are things that will help you in your daily life, that will transform you and change you. But notice the pattern here that we're starting to see established. You have a choice. You must choose to submit to God. It says what you're being implored to do by Jacob is to submit to God. He's encouraging you. He's imploring you. Submit to God. Okay, but what's the obvious implication there? You don't have to. You can choose. You can submit to God, or you don't have to submit to God. It's your choice as to what you do. The author of the book here is imploring us, submit to God. You must choose to submit to God. It's not passive. You don't accidentally submit to God. Submit is an active word. And then what does it say? Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. Okay, what is that? I think of that as like, it's like taking steps toward God. Draw near to God. And it says, boom, he will draw near to you. But you've got to take some action on your part also. Beloved, I want to encourage you, take a step toward him. If you're listening on the podcast or on the internet, take a step toward him. If you're here in this room, take a step toward him. If you do, scripture says he will draw near to you. He will come toward you. I've heard it said that you take one step to God, he'll come running to you. You know the story of the prodigal son and his father? That as he approached, the father came running to him? When the son returned home after living a life of depravity, he finally came home to dad and thought that, well, maybe he'll just accept me as one of his slaves. But even when he was still a far way off, it says, the father saw him and came running to him, put his arms around him. See, this is what God would do for us. This is what Yaakov is saying right here. But you have to consciously choose. God can make it very clear, but at the end of the day, he does not force us to choose to allow him to work in our lives. What will you choose? We're about to get to the quote that Rabbi Robert often taught us, which is the foundation of this message. But in your life, friends, you will often have a choice. You can choose to not allow God to work in your life. And you can also choose not to make a choice, right? So you can be actively against what God is drawing you to in your life, for sure. But also what a lot of people do is they just don't make a choice. Almost trying to kind of make it like, pretending, you know, you've seen kids when they don't really want to hear something. You know, it's not there. I just don't want to deal with it. I got other things in my life that are prioritizing over it right now. Not making a choice is a choice. You understand? But dear friends, in your life, and here is the quote, you've got to L-E-T, let God do something in your life. L-E-T, you remember Rabbi used to say that. You got to L-E-T, let God do something in your life. Let God move in your life. It's your choice. It's your choice. Are you willing? Are you willing? In whatever area it is. Let's go to the Torah, please. Numbers chapter 13. It's interesting. God said explicitly that he was giving what would become the land of Israel to the former Hebrew slaves coming out of Egypt. Okay, so to the Jewish people, he was giving the land of Israel. This is spoken about a lot in the Torah, of course. many, many thousands of years ago. The children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt. They came out remarkably. And they came out of Egypt through the plagues, of course, and the parting of the Red Sea. And there they were. And they were at Mount Sinai, or this was actually after Mount Sinai. The 12 spies went out to scout out the land of Canaan. So the Israelites sent a spy from every tribe, and they went to scout out the land of Canaan because they were about ready to move into it, that which God had promised them. Explicitly, God had promised them. And so there they are moving into it. And when these 12 spies returned, we read about this in the Torah, when these 12 spies returned, all of them said, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, okay? Okay, so yes, it's a good land. Everybody's in agreement there. But 10 of the 12 spies were afraid and spread a bad report that the people in the land were too great for the Israelites, and that the Israelites couldn't conquer the land. Let's read it in Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers 13, verse 31. Let's hear what the 10 of the spies said. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, quote, "We cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we. They spread among the children of Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, 'The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw there are men of great size.'" Okay, so the 10 spies and subsequently the rest of the Israelites did not let. They did not let God work in their lives. Why did they not let God work in their lives? Because they were relying on what they saw with their own eyes. Did you see what we're talking about here? They relied more on themselves. We can't do this. We can't take the land. We have seen with our own eyes the giants in the land. We cannot do this. And you got to figure God up there was saying, what part of we did the 10 plagues? What part of we parted the Red Sea? No, we, just me. I feel like God was becoming a rap artist right there. I felt like it's a lot of rhyming. I mean, you got to think, what do you mean we can't take this? Do you see how limited this is? They were not let letting God move in their lives and do what he wants and what he said he would do. And remember, these boys had seen the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Yet they did not trust God enough to let him do what he said he would do in their lives. Very interesting. But you see, the story has two sides to it. It's so interesting, Carolyn. Sometimes when I'm working on messages and I am talking about a particular topic, I'll find maybe a biblical example that can articulate the point I'm trying to illustrate, and then I'll find maybe a counterpoint, some other example. This story has both examples in the same story. Why? Because remember, I told you that 10 of the 12, this is what they said, but there were two other spies, you know them, Joshua and Caleb, that's right. Turn one page over or one swipe over, Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. It's a sign of mourning. They said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, they said, quote, "The land through which we passed is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land and will give it to us. A land flowing with milk and honey." Wow. Okay. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb were willing to L-E-T, let God move in their lives. Let God do something. Let God do what he wanted to do in their lives, not what they saw with their natural carnal eyes, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what other people said, regardless of the obstacles in their way, regardless of the adversary, regardless of how hard it might be. Hello, I don't know if any of you are picking up that this relates to us. You got to let God work and move in your life, despite what things may seem like on the outside, in the natural. In the natural, right, the children of Israel were like, man, there's some big dudes in that land. We're not going to be able to take them, I don't think, in the natural. But God's like, man, come on. Didn't you read the book of Exodus? Okay, well, they lived the book of Exodus, okay? but if you think about it on those terms, it makes it seem almost foolish that they would have questioned and said, no, we can't do it. Well, you're right. We can't do it. Guess what? I'm going to tell you something. You can't do it. You can't always do it. Sometimes we can make it through some and natural giftings that God gives us, some to a certain extent, but only to a certain extent. Sometimes if you really want to succeed in life, if you really want to take the full bite of the apple of what God wants for your life, you're going to have to L-E-T. You're going to have to let God move in your life. Because there's a limit to what we can do in our own flesh. I don't care how talented you are. Listen, I've sat with some of the most brilliant people in the world. I mean, you guys know, I went to school at Georgia Tech and Emory. I once had a session with Warren Buffett. We're talking about brilliant, powerful people, aren't they? It doesn't matter. They're still not at God's pay grade, my friends. How did God respond? How did God respond to these situations? Very interesting. Well, God responded. Woo. First of all, he was quite perturbed when the children of Israel decided to go with the 10 spies and not with the 2. And they decided they couldn't take the land. They listened to the bad report. Okay, Numbers 14, verse 21. Here's how God responded. Here's what God said. But as certainly as I live, and as the glory of Adonai fills the entire earth, none of the people who saw my glory and my miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet tested me these 10 times and did not obey my voice, not one of them will see the land I promised to their forefathers. None of these who treated me with contempt will see it. Oof. 24. However, my servant Caleb, because a different spirit is with him and he is wholeheartedly behind me, I will bring him into the land where he went. His offspring will inherit it. Woo, boy, that's powerful. That's both sobering and encouraging at the same time. Okay, the children of Israel did not let God work in their lives, and they paid the price. You know, we commemorate it every year on Sukkot, wandering in the desert 40 years. Oh my gosh. Listen, yes, he didn't let our shoes wear out. Yes, he sustained us with manna. I get that for sure. It's worth celebrating that he didn't just destroy us all. If that was the first thing he discussed with Moses, is let me just destroy them all and start off with you. And Moses did a great job of negotiating. Man, Moses would have been great on Ben Yehuda Street in Israel. Okay, that's where they do the bargaining and the shook. Man, I'm telling you, Moses was that dude negotiated some with God. You got to have some chutzpah to negotiate with God. Wow. But God listened to him. That's the thing. It's like, wow, man, Moses, he was definitely built different. Sure enough, none of those people, nonetheless, walking around in the desert for 40 years, even though your shoes are okay and you have enough food with the manna, still not exactly what I would call fun. You know, circling around in the desert. I've been in that desert before, personally. It didn't look very fun. Didn't look very good. Caleb and Yehoshua, Caleb and Joshua, did let God. It was beyond what they saw with their mortal eyes. And they knew what God had done before and what God had promised them. And so they said, we're going to let God work in our lives. We're going to let God move in our lives. And they inherited the land. They inherited the land. Absolutely amazing story. Friends, I can't implore you enough. You know, the old expression, let go and let God. When God gives you opportunities to serve him, first of all, what an honor, man. What an honor. If the God of creation gives you an opportunity to serve him in some way, man, that is high praise. The people who are musicians here, the cantors, the service leaders, the sound, the visual, the ushers, everybody involved in this service, the library, everybody involved in this service and beyond, people downstairs in the production room, serving God, man, we appreciate it. They're blessing all of us. But what a privilege to serve God. What an honor. When God gives you opportunities to serve him or to receive something from him, or for that matter, when God even corrects you, L-E-T, let God move in your life. Scripture says he corrects those he loves, like a father, a child that he cherishes. You got to let God, if he's correcting you, L-E-T, let him, let God do something in your life. He may be teaching you something, going to help you the rest of your life. Do not resist him. Trust me, whatever he wants to do in your life will be better than whatever it is that you might choose yourself. And think about that logically. It makes sense. The God of creation, his choice is going to be better than my choice? Okay, makes sense. It's like a general is giving you an order. Okay, here's an order from the general. But this is unique because it's an order that you can refuse. So you get an order from the general, but you can choose to follow the order or you can choose to disobey the order, not to follow the order. It's totally your choice as to what you do with the order from that general. But friends, you have to know if there's a battle going on, that the general knows much more than you do about the situation. I mean, that just makes sense. And actually, on top of that, here's a little extra information. The general happens to love you. You're not a nameless person to this general. You're not just simply cannon fodder. No. He knows you by name. He loves you. Why? Because here's the last piece of information. The general also happens to be your father. Wow, man, the general is my dad. So you know he has your best interest at heart. So all of these things are coming from the general and these orders, but you have the choice. Do I follow the order or do I not follow the order? Yet all too often I see people refuse. They refuse. Why do they refuse to let God move in their lives? Lots of reasons. Here's one of the biggest. They're too busy. They're too busy with their lives. They're just a little too busy. Sometimes too preoccupied. Too distracted. Too prideful. Too self-reliant. I've had people come into my office weeping that they don't want to end up in their lives distant from God. But I look at them and God gives us the choice. This is not an outcome that you have no control over. You have complete control over it, over what you do. Are you going to choose to let God? I've had my Jewish friends and brothers and sisters, people say to me that they think it's likely that Yeshua is the Messiah, but they don't want to move forward with him because of tradition or family. These things are important, but friends, what is important is the truth. What is the truth? But he lays out the choice before us. When it comes to God, we have to have a spirit of L-E-T, let God work in your life. Deuteronomy 30, please. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Wow, we sure have a choice. This is right from the Torah itself. Deuteronomy 30, 19. It says, I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today. God says to you and me, and to the children of Israel that day, that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants may live, by loving Adonai your God, listening to his voice, and clinging to him. Friends, this is as much true for us today as it was for the children of Israel 3,400 years ago when that was written. Absolutely as spot on true for us today as it was for them then. Are you going to listen to his voice? Are you going to love him today? Are you going to cling to him? Are you going to let him work in your life? What will you choose? You have to L-E-T, let God do something in your life. Oh, beloved, if you do, it will be better for you. You will be blessed. Will it necessarily always be easy? No! Like I said, it may be very difficult at times. In the end, it's still better. And if you think about it, it makes sense if you follow God's will for your life. I want to conclude with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And this further demonstrates the importance of letting God work in your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It sets off with the word of the day, let the shalom or peace, let the shalom of Messiah rule in your hearts. To this shalom you were surely called in one body. Also be thankful, verse 16, here's that word again, let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. L-E-T, let Messiah's peace rule in your hearts. You see how There's a choice there. You have a choice. Let the shalom, the peace of God that passes all understanding, by the way, right? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. My old friend did not let God's peace rule in his heart. He chose not to let God's peace rule. And many valuable years were wasted. My other friend did L.E.T. let the shalom of the Lord dwell in her heart, even with all the baggage that she had. And it changed her life. So let the word of the Lord dwell deeply in you, but with all gratitude, as it says. Because God has the answer key. And he wants to help you. But at the end of the day, you have to L-E-T, let God move in your life, because he will not force you. The title of my message, L-E-T. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've heard this message and maybe something has been stirring in your heart and you believe, you may not understand everything, but you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, but you've never proclaimed it, never said a prayer. Most people in here have, but not everybody. Maybe you're watching online. If you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to today, raise your hand and we'll pray together. Is there anybody? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there anyone? Maybe you're watching online and that's you, or listening on the podcast and you've never given your life to God. Wow. L-E-T. Let God move in your life. Say this simple prayer after me and God will change you and transform you. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I ask Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me my sins. God, I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God. In Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're in this room, please see me after the service. I'll celebrate with you. If you're watching online or on the podcast, please email us and so we can celebrate with you. Lord, I want to pray for our congregation. I want to pray for everyone here, Lord, that you will help us. God, that you will help us, L-E-T. It's so hard, God, sometimes because we get in our own way. Through our own mind, our own eyes, our own flesh, our own desires, our own priorities, our own busyness, own pride. And a lot of times we don't let you work in our lives. But Lord, you want to work in our lives. God, I pray for each of us. I want to let you move in my life, Lord. I want you to move in my life. I'm asking you to move in my life. However you want.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.